Coral FM is a Sound FM. www.soundfm.ca, channel 946 on digital cable, 100.3 on your analog dial. And I'm here, I can't believe who I'm here with. I'm here with the one and only Dave Richmond and his amazing son, Chris Richmond. And they're visiting from England. And one is very famous as a session bass musician, but he doesn't just play bass. He plays a variety of instruments. And Chris is well known in video production through Atticus Finch TV. And they came over to Canada because we all have one thing in common, and that was our very good friend Brian Richmond, who recently left us. And Dave is Brian's brother. So hi, Dave. And
hi. Nice to speak to you.
Hi, Chris.
Hi there.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, thanks.
How do you like Canada?
I love Canada, yeah. I really like snow.
Have you been having a good time since you got here? I already know the answer to this, but the listeners don't.
Yeah, I've been having a whale of a time, actually, watching Chris skiing, for example, and having the odd slip myself.
Up in
nearly falling over.
And you were when you got here, you went to Toronto first. What did you do down in Toronto?
We did a lot of walking, checking out sort of various different districts. Had a sort of a friendly bit of competition with our cameras trying to take out.
We took in the Arts and Design Centre, that amazing, looks like a table.
It's fantastic building.
On top of a regular sort of building.
And then you're also at the Rex Hotel. What were you doing at the Rex?
Well, the Rex Jazz Club.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we had a great time there. We didn't realise that there was anything like it available. Because in England, when you go to a jazz club, you generally see one sort of act and that's it. But at the Rex, there were three. And you could stay for the whole lot. You know, it was really amazing. And some great musicians playing there.
And speaking of great musicians, Dave has had an amazing career as a musician and is still playing as we speak. In fact, you have a gig when you go back, right? Basically?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But he got his start with one of the most iconic pop bands to come out of Britain, Manfred Mann. So, and this song went on to become the theme song for another very popular music show called Ready, Steady, Go. So this is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Manfred Mann on Coral FM.
Five, four, three, two, one. soul. It has nothing to do with the wine or the music that's flooding my mind. But never before have I been so sure you're the someone I dreamed I would find. It's the way close to you, it's a feeling so unreal, somehow I can't believe it's true. The pounding I feel in my heart, the hoping that we'll never part. I can't believe this is really happening. Close my eyes and count to 10. And when I open them, you're still with me. I close my eyes and count again. I can't believe it, but you're still here. We were strangers a moment ago, with a few dreams but nothing to show. The world was a place with a fire. I'm close to you. Makes today seem so unreal. Somehow I can't believe it's true. Tomorrow will you still be here? Tomorrow will come, but I fear that what is happening to me is only a dream. Close my eyes and count to 10. And when I open them, you're still here. I close my eyes and count again. I can't believe it, but you're still here. I close my eyes and count to 10.
That was Dusty Springfield. I close my eyes and count to 10. And Dave?
Yes.
What do you have to say about this? Were you, as I guess I should let people know that we played Dusty Springfield because in your time as a session bass player, you have worked with Dusty Springfield.
Yeah, I worked with her quite a bit, actually, and that was one of the first ones I did with her, actually. It was recorded at IBC Studios, which were in Portland Place, which was quite a popular sort of studio to work in, but most of the ones I did record were recorded at Phillips Studios.
Where is Phillips Studios? Is that
That's very near Marble Arch.
Okay.
And it was quite incredible in those days. A lot of the studios were situated right in the middle of London, right in the tourist area, and there was always crowds of people, and we had to drive our own vehicles and bring in, like in my case, bass guitar and amplifier and a bag with wires and pedals in it. And it was quite difficult at times. But yeah. When that was recorded, I don't think we even had parking meters in London. So it was easier in those days. But not long after, they did start putting them up, and then it did get very tricky.
Did you? You played at Trident Studios. Now, for listeners that don't know what Trident Studios, can you tell them the significance of Trident Studios in today's recording industry?
Well, I don't, you know, it's funny, there's great gaps in my knowledge, actually, but the one thing I do remember doing there was working with Elton John on his first album that became famous, and which was produced by Gus Dudgeon, who I did know when he was a recording engineer at EMI. And he must have spotted Elton, and he booked him to record at Trident. And it seems it did have a great reputation, but it was a new studio in those days.
I wanted to, and we started off, we played 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, We should give that. That was Manfred Mann, and that is a track that you did when you worked with Manfred Mann. How did this all come about?
Well, the band, we were getting very successful under the name of the Manhug Blues Brothers.
Right.
And in those days, we didn't do very much commercial music, which was very good for me, because I didn't like really any pop music that I could think of. It was mainly jazz that I liked, blues, and classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And in the band, we did have some very good jazz players. And after a bit, Paul Jones joined us, and mm-hmm. he, of course, was very much into the blues, a very good blues harp player.
Mm-hmm.
And we started learning his tunes and also growing to love them, you know, because it was great playing the Muddy Waters and Bo Diddley type music, and it was all new to me in those days. And I was playing double bass in the band.
Right.
Anyway, after a bit, the band got so popular that EMI got interested. There was an A&R man there that had heard the band, but he wanted to change it. He wanted it to be a smaller band. He wanted a guitar in it. He wanted it cut down to 5 players and bass guitar. Well, as it happens, I had taken up the bass guitar not long before we recorded 5-4-3-2-1, because I was interested in developing my double bass playing, and I had one lesson from a famous classical double bass player just to work on my bow playing, the arco as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And after one lesson, I had a big lump appeared in my hand, and I wouldn't have been able to do the next gig with Manfred Mann at the Rikki Tikki Club in Windsor. So a friend of mine knew that I played guitar, and he said, why don't you get a bass guitar? So I did, and I did the gig that night on bass guitar, never having played one before. And from then on, we always used bass guitar.
Where did you get your start? This goes back to your brother Brian. So how did you fall into music?
Well, my brother was one of these chaps that likes to tap. He'd be sitting at breakfast and he'd be going, oh, if I can demonstrate, you know, doing things like that. Very irritating, of course, to anyone not particularly into music. But he used to buy records. There were 78s in 78s, mm-hmm. weren't they? The old wax ones. And one of the records he bought was Big Noise from Winnetka,
mm-hmm.
which, for anyone that doesn't know, is just a double bass and a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And the drummer whistles a bit of melody at some point. And the gimmick is that the drum plays on the top string of the double bass. So you get a sort of
kind of a
percussive note going up and down and playing melody, you know, improvising like that. And I was fascinated, you know, we'd play it endlessly. And even to this day, I still find it a great track, you know, it's just wonderful. It was recorded, I think, around about 1937.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it recently. I heard it in England being used for a present-day commercial.
I'm not surprised.
And imagine that, you know, something recorded in 1937. So obviously I had good taste, because they're still playing it now, mm-hmm. and it must have been and it was a terrific influence on me in later years.
Do you watch, it's right here, Bob Haggard and Ray Bodock.
Are you going to play it?
I can.
Oh, great.
I can play it.
Lovely.
We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about your music career. And sitting beside you, your son Chris, speaking of video production, is very known for his work as creative director of Atticus Finch, which is doing some amazing work, especially with right now there's a really, how big is this band in England, Chris? They're called Snow Patrol. I'm thinking they're like, you know, kind of like Coldplay almost.
I think so, yeah. I know they're pretty.
Yeah, they're pretty big. We're going to come back. I'm here with my special, very special guest, Dave Richmond, and Chris Richmond will be right back after this.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Big Noise from Winnetka. And that was the song that, Dave, that was the song that sort of that started it all for you?
And of course, there were other things like the Stan Kenton records being played, all on 78s, Jerry Mulligan, George Shearing. They're all influences in their way.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, one of my great favourite bass players became Ray Brown, mm-hmm. who played with the Oscar Peterson Trio for many years and did loads and loads of, played with loads of those different bands right up until he died about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oscar Peterson, Canadian.
Yes.
Canadian pianist, amazing.
Yeah.
Jazz pianist. And you have played, who have you toured with? Just to let people know some of the people you've toured with over your career.
Well, I toured, one of my favourite tours was one I did in 1975 with the John Barry Orchestra.
And who is John Barry, just for people
John Barry
who don't know?
John Barry wrote a lot of the early, the music for the early James Bond films. I think possibly about the first 6 or 7.
So Dr. No, Thunderball, Moonraker, To Rush You With Love, Live and Let Die.
Yes, that's right. Diamonds Are Forever.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Which, on that one, I was lucky enough to play on the soundtrack of that one, on the theme tune with Shirley Bassey.
Oh, and you were on that track?
Yeah, and also on the in the incidental music for the film.
I'm a huge fan.
And that was recorded at the old CTS studios, which was a converted sort of like, almost like a church hall, but it had a wonderful acoustic for strings. So when mm-hmm. you hear those old records, you'll hear the string sound. It's just absolutely magical. Didn't have to add any reverb or anything. It was just a natural sound.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever. It, stroke it and undress it. I can see every part, nothing hides in the heart to hurt me. I don't need love, for what good will love do me? Diamonds never lie to me.
I think John Barry's music was a character by itself, and Diamonds Are Forever. I always look at Shirley Bassey as a forerunner for Amy Winehouse. I think her voice and a little bit of maybe Helen Shapiro and the Torch Singers from the 1960s. which were very cool. And you worked with Cilla Black at one point, did you not?
Yeah, well, Cilla Black, I didn't do her TV shows, but I did one or two recordings. But in fact, the ones I did didn't really become the massive hits that are still remembered today.
Mm-hmm.
I did work with Sandy Shaw at that time.
I remember her. Nothing yeah. Comes Easy and Puppet on a String.
That's right.
I used to watch her on Top of the Pops, and she always sung in stocking feet. So I'm going to switch it up here. I'm going from father to son. Chris, you are with Atticus Finch TV, a production house out of England. And can you tell people a little bit about Atticus Finch and what they do? Because you're kind of, I think you're groundbreaking video production right now from the work I've seen.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. we're kind of quite a small production company based in London. We have quite an eclectic mix of work that we do. It sort of spans across music, some stuff for brands, and we work in animation and live action, so it is quite varied. I suppose the most recent stuff that we've been doing that might have been seen by people around the world was for Snow Patrol's most recent world tour. We did about 7 of the tracks, did the sort of visuals that were getting played as part of the conference, and they'd created some custom made sort of set design with these sort of pods that got lowered down from the roof, and so we had to sort of create content that was specifically designed to go onto those, which looked great. And also we'd worked with them in 2009 on the previous world tour as well, where we created Gary Lightbody had an idea for doing an animation that spanned across 3 of the tracks, collectively known as the Lightning Strike.
Yeah,
that's it. That was a great bit of work. We're sort of very proud of.
Do you want me to play some Lightning Strike? Which part? One.
Yeah, go for the first part.
Okay. Lightning Strike. So you see, I have an amazing duo sitting beside me. This show is, what did they used to say in England? Toppermost of the poppermost. Some amazing creative energy sitting in this room right now. It's great. So we're going to play a little bit of Snow Patrol. And if you're just tuning in, this is Coral FM, Sound FM, www.soundfm.ca, Channel 946 on digital cable, and 100.3 on your analog dial. Hi, Rose, if you're listening, and Stina, too. This is Snow Patrol.
ever again. A perfect halo of cold hair and lightning set you off against the planet's last dance. Just for a minute, the silver forked sky lit you up like a star that I will follow. And now it's found us, like I have found you. I don't wanna run, just overwhelm me.
Was Snow Patrol and part one of the Lightning Strike. I'm here with my very special guests, Dave Richmond and Chris Richmond. And of course, Chris is the creative director of Atticus Finch, which is part of the visual excellence behind the band Snow Patrol. And when we come back, we're going to be coming back at 5:30 to talk with Chris about Atticus Finch and also Dave about his amazing career in music, which right now you're still gigging, and you are playing around with a banjo. You also teach, and so we're going to be talking a little bit more about that around 5:30.
Talk to me.